I want to thank God for him and also the opportunity to allow me to be able to speak. I won't be before you long, but I have a word for you. If you'll get your Bibles, and if you'll do me a favor and turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It's the 22nd chapter, the 31st verse to the 34th verse. Amen. And the word reads as such. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. But he said to him, Lord, am I ready to go with you both to prison and to death? And then he, speaking of the Lord, said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you know me. I will ask you to write down, Simon says is something that I think all of us are familiar with. Before we have the PS5s and before we have all these beautiful games, before we have the Nintendos, before we had the Sega Genesis, before we had the Xbox, we had some games that you played outside. From sunup to sundown. I don't know about y'all, but some of us had ropes that we played with. Some of us, if it was more than three of us, ladies definitely had double dutch. Some of us had a big old circle called the hula hoops. Some of us had jacks. That was the prelude to dices. For me anyway. I've been delivered. You have not caught me at the Portsmouth Casino, okay? I will shake them and bake them, but I don't do it no more. Praise God. I've been delivered. But some games lead to other games. Amen. And some games will keep you hungry, called hunger games. But there's a game that I think we played in school called Simon Says. Yeah. And Simon Says, for any of you that fell asleep during recess, Simon Says works as this. I'm Simon, and you guys are my audience. And when I say, Simon says, raise your hand. Let's play today. Simon says, raise your hand. Simon says, put down your hands. Simon says, raise your hand. Simon says, put down your hand. Raise your hand. See, right there, you're out. You're out, you're out, you're out, you're out. You know why you're out, right? Because you didn't listen to Simon Says. If you listen to what Jason says, you're in trouble. And that's what I need us to get to. When you start listening to what man says, we're going to be in trouble. But if we start listening to what God says, we're going to be all right, saints. And so, as we look at this text, the Lord says, Simon, Simon. So I said, I'll coin this, Simon Says. See, I don't know about y'all, but I come to encourage you today because in this Christian walk, there's a lot of ups, there's a lot of downs. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I can feel like I am on fire for Jesus to the Christ. It's sometimes that I have to look back and I say, good God Almighty, Lord, you are good to me. Have you ever been used by God so good? You know, won't you? Have you ever been used by God so good? You've been like, God, you love me so much. Little old me, you gonna use me to do what? God, you let me lead this person to Christ. My God, I thank you. And you have quoted scriptures, you have learned, you have told yourself, I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to get in my word and I'm going to be disciplined of the Lord. And you do it and you feel so fulfilled and full to be in his presence. But then, sometimes the book get dusty. Sometimes you don't get to talk to him. Sometimes you don't pray. And sometimes you learn to become a prey, a predator of your own self. Because, see, the enemy comes to do three things. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not done until he sees you in the ground. And at that time, he has been hopeful that you're in the ground, departed, and with him. If he knows you don't have salvation, he's going to continue to earnestly try to bring you to a place called death that's going to allow you to be in a place called hell. Because misery loves company. And I've learned that the enemy is always after. In Revelation, it says he's accuser of even the brethren. So he don't stop just because you get saved. Because what he wants you to do is forget whose you are. See, saints, I don't know about y'all, but see, sometimes I know myself so well, not that well, but well enough to know I know stuff that I do that you don't know that I do. I know some things that I think that you'll never know that I think. As though I am going to be a very transparent person. But an old man told me some things are to tell, but some things are to keep. Huh? I couldn't preach before y'all if I told y'all everything about me. You might not listen to me. Huh? If y'all all saw how some of my weeks went, some of y'all might say, I don't know if Brother Harris can come back. And I understand. But I would say the same about you too. I don't know if I should let y'all in the church building, let alone in the pulpit. So birds of a feather will flock together. I'm just telling you that not to put you down, but to let you know why you had one gun pointed at me. I got one pointed back at you. Because I know there's no condemnation, but I know there's no temptation that's not uncommon to all of us. All of us got some things that we still are struggling and working through. Some of us still got some things, some secrets that we still like to go to. Some of us still like some comforts of not of the word, but we like to chew on words that we like to have chance that's not of God. Some of us still like to tweak and twerk it in private. Let the church say amen. It's all right. It's all right. We're going to be delivered a little bit today. Not all the way, because it's sanctification. It's a progressional thing. Huh? Huh? Some of us go to the barbecues and we all save, right? And family be having that music playing and that leg start popping. You be like, Lord have mercy. They gonna think I'm a saint and they gonna think I'm a sinner. Lord, what am I, Lord? Because this song is taking me back. Mm. And two, three songs later, the shimmy start going. Oh, you be like, Lord Jesus. Oh, I've been witnessing to my little cousin, my little nephew, my niece, Lord. They're going to think I can't say nothing else to them about Jesus. For you know it, you in the car, turned up on the way home. Turned down for what? Oh, you in your own little place. You in that music because they done started something. What DMX say? Y'all brothers done started something. He ain't say brothers. Huh? But I know. Huh? You ever hear a song in the grocery store and it just take you back? And you like, Lord, have mercy. Ooh, sing it, Teddy. Oh, come on. Usher, not the ushers at the door. Usher, You'd be like, oh, in the club, you remember. You close your eyes, you're like, I'm driving. I got to remember, I'm driving. Because I had a flashback, Jesus. I had a flashback. They say every laugh is a good laugh when it got some truth in it. Huh? Simon didn't say drop it like it's hot. That was your flesh. That was your mess. Huh? We all wrestle against flesh and blood, but it ain't about flesh and blood. It's a fight up here where high principalities, they fighting over us. And we don't realize it some days. And when the Lord says, Satan has asked for you, my God, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you. I said, my God. Simon was the name that God met him at when he was a young man. Simon was a fisherman. Let me give you a little bit about my boy Simon. Simon was a well-off man, believe it or not. Well, how do you know that, Jason? Because the Lord met him as a fisherman. But if you remember, the Lord asked, could he use a man's boat? And if you had a boat back in that day, just like this day, if you got a boat that's probably bigger than a canoe and got an engine on it, you probably got a couple dollars to your name, okay? But back then, if you really had a boat and you was a fisherman and this is how you made your money, he was living pretty good. And fishermen back then was a man's man. You had to be a man's man to go out here and be a fisherman because you had to toy all night. You had to go out there and fight against the waves and the winds, and you had to understand the climates. You had to understand what time had to do, and then you had to take all that fish in and cut the nets and clean it. And it was a lot of process. But he had a boat. Simon had a boat of his own. And when God saw him and his brother, he said he dropped all things. He said, you may be a fisherman, but I want to make you a fisher of men. And Simon says, yes, Lord, I will leave all and I will forsake all. He left it that day and started following Christ. See, that's how we are. See, everybody in here that knows Christ, we had a Simon opportunity in our life. It's something that God has asked us to forsake, and we forsook it, and we took upon his glory and said, I will follow you. Because I see you're worthy to be followed. And when you know God is worthy to be followed, you can let some earthly things go. May not be easy, but it's worth it. See, you will not be calling me Nicodemus. You will not be calling me the rich young ruler that was sad that he had to let it go. When we realize who God is, there's nothing we should hold on to. That we would not follow who he is, because as Simon did, if God brings you to it, he'll get you through it. If God says he called you to it, you already know you blessed. When you understand that favor is upon your life because he knows your name, you see life a little bit different. You can't hold yourself to the same place that you used to be. And so therefore we let go childish things. And we follow the king because we recognize he is the king of kings. I don't care what king I am in my house. I know that he's the Lord over me. And so therefore, if I know I need a shepherd, even though I may be a shepherd over a small flock, I know I need someone greater than me because I know my frailties. I know that I need a savior. I know that I need a redeemer. I know that I need a king that's with a capital K. Because I know who my God is. Once you get that epiphany, you don't worry about Tiffany. I said, okay. This is what Peter did. He left all things, making money. If you remember, God even said, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to give you so much fish, I'm going to sink your boat. Call the other boys over. They boat won't have enough fish. He said he dropped his nets right there and let them have it. That was the biggest fish catch he had. He could have made so much money off of that. But when you understand that God and being in his presence is better than any riches and rubies and things of this world, you do not sit back. And that's a bait. When you catch something big, you better ask God, is this of you? Because sometimes the enemy will give you what you think you want in your flesh to keep you away from the best thing that you could ever have. It's called salvation. It's called relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when you get it big, you better ask. Ain't nothing wrong. I love that song. Big. He's going to do it big. But sometimes we ask him for something big that ain't of God, and we accepting it, and it's keeping us away from his glory. And Simon didn't say that one. Simon says, no, he didn't. He said, go get that. And you said, all right. I see the opening. Yeah, but you don't know what it's going to cost you. See, the enemy says that he's an accuser of the brother. So he's asking when he see weakness in us, can I have him? Can I have him? Can I have you? Even when you of Christ, he's still going to ask for you. I'm going to show you in a minute. Even when you of the kingdom, he's still going to ask for you to make a mockery out of the church, out of the calling that's on your life, out of all the things that you have forsake. The Bible says that we shouldn't go back like a dog returns to his vomit. Because you know why? In the bushes is seven more demons waiting on you. Because they go get their crew because they knew the power that took you away from them. So they knew they got to gang up to come back and get you. But when you offer, when you learn, some places you don't go back to until God tells you to. Some places you go back because God called you to it. Some places you don't go back because he freed you from it. All right. Okay. So my boy Simon left a great job. See, Simon got a lot of New Berean Christians in him. See, I'm a New Berean Christian, too. I'm with y'all. I told y'all family, so I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about us. Simon believed. Simon did some great things. Huh? Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. I'm walking on water. I'm walking on water. Because I just asked God, if that's you, call me. Call me. I'm scared. He was scared. Listen, it was a lot going on that wind, on that water. Everybody else in the boat was scared. But Peter is shocked. Peter like, hey, if the Lord is for me, who can be against me? Huh? I heard my wife say about the blood. She said it also covers the anxiety. See, when you know the formality of who God is, all these little small quirky things don't get to you the same way, because you be like, I see you, devil, but I know who's greater. So, God, if you bid me to come on out there, I understand. I understand this is not natural, but I serve a supernatural God. Yeah. See, I understand that I've never seen a man walk on water before, but if I see that you out there, and if I ask for I can be with you, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. So therefore, let me call upon you and ask you, can I join thy? And the Lord said, come on, but keep your eyes on the prize. And when I take my eyes off the prize, quickly you will see you're just nothing but flesh. And I will remind you of that by letting you sink. Sometimes we sink and we don't know why we're sinking, because we took our eyes off the prize. And when we see that we are getting cluttered with the things of this world, we'll realize that I got to get back to the book. I got to keep looking to him that is, which cometh my help. I got to look to the hills. I got to continue looking at his word. And it ain't nothing that God cannot use you to do, to call you to get through. It is no separation. Listen, I separated Pharaoh with cracking of the water in the seas. I drowned him, but I want you to be above the water. Huh? I can let you walk above it, even though I understand, but you got to walk on it with me. So, but if anybody chasing you, I can drown. See, God, if you start looking at what he do in that body of water, my God. Peter says, bid me to come forth. Peter got another reputation. The Lord says, who do man say that I am? Peter says, You're the Christ. But Peter, I asked you about man, but who do you say that I am? You're the Lord. You're the Lord Almighty. Paraphrasing. Jesus says, amen. He said, but flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. He said, thank God up in heaven for that one. Okay. So understand now. You can't serve God without his spirit. You can't answer the right questions and you can't do the right things if you are not walking with the right one. But see, there's a something called this flesh that we fight all the time, that we go in and out with God. See, I don't know about y'all, but I know I do. One minute I say that I'm doing this, and the next minute I find myself doing this. And what James say, he's a double-minded man. I look in the mirror and I forget what I was just talking to God about. That was Jesus' brother that said that. A double-minded man. I can't talk about y'all. I can just talk about me. I can be double-minded, and it hurts some days. I didn't come to condemn you. I come to encourage you. That's not what I'm talking about. But just understand, I need us to understand that the fight is real. Sometimes we say we're going to do one thing, but then we find ourselves over here. So in that same passage in Matthew 16, who do man say that I am? 16, 17. If you go down to 16, 23, you see, Peter is just like us. He means well, but he's foolish. He says, no, you're not going to die like that, because the Lord told them what he had to do. I got to die so I can bring on the Holy Ghost, basically, long story short. Peter said, you will not die. And what did Jesus say to him? Satan, get from behind thee. Hold up now. This is within 10 verses. One minute I just said, you got the Holy Ghost in you. Jesus says, only my Father revealed this to you. Then the next thing I said was, I just said, Jesus, you're not going to die. I need you to stay with me. And he said, Satan, get from behind thee? Wow. Isn't that some bipolar Christianity? I just got crowned as a saint. And then I get deemed as a sinner. When you try to tell God what's going to work best for you, come on now. When we try to tell God we know what's best, even if we mean it in the right, we believe spirit, we have set ourselves up to partner with the devil. See, listen, Peter said, I just don't want you to leave me. But the Lord's like, you're being selfish. Because just like when the people ask, the Lord says, why they ain't got to wash their hand? Because he said they got the Son of God with them. They don't have to follow the rituals because I'm with them. So while I'm with them, they're covered. Peter didn't want that covering to ever leave him, which is not a bad thing. But the Lord said, if I don't leave, then I can't send. And if I can't send, then the rest of those people will suffer. So, Peter, I know you love me. And listen, I'm going to get to a place in the garden. I'm going to even ask God, can this cup pass from me? But if not, let your will be done. Simon says what he wants to say, but God says what he has to do. If God starts telling you what he wants you to do, it's for a purpose of his glory, that he's trying to get you to another place that you don't even understand in this dimension. I ask, will you trust God when he calls you out of something to something else? Or are we going to keep telling God what we think is best for our life? Are we going to be like Simon says and continue to tell God we know better than him? See, this is why the devil asks for sometimes, because he never got to tell God no one time and not pay for it. Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. The enemy takes no time off when he sees an opportunity. But can I tell y'all something? The enemy's not all knowing. When you understand that, understand he plays by the odds. It's just like gambling. It's just like a lot of stuff. You learn the systems, and then you will leave it and come back, and you'll be like, okay, I learned that every 30 minutes, then they find a winner, every da-da-da, I'm going to come back here, I'm going to go back and do this, I'm going to go start peeking over here. He just learns the systems. So he learns the systems of your ways. He doesn't stay to see everything. So he don't know everything because he's not all-knowing. But he can start paying attention when he comes back. I figured this may have happened, that would have happened, this would have happened, that would have happened. And he'll start speaking. That's why he has soothsayers. And he can speak through people that it looks like they're prophesying or they're speaking for God, but they just got a little bit of rhythm. And that's why even in Egyptians, they were like, oh, three times God blocked them off, said, y'all can't do this no more. I'm going to send my servant, and he's going to show y'all that only I know certain things. So watch this. I'm so glad that my God understood that the devil was asking for the old me. That's your time to say amen right there. I'm so glad that my God knew that the devil is always asking for the old me. So listen, in this text, you see Simon, Simon, but at verse 34, I tell you, Peter. Aren't they the same person? But I told you, Simon was the man that he met when he was a fisherman. Peter was the man that I called you to be. It's called the rock. I called you to build upon my church. I renamed you. When God renames you, you got a name. But listen, Satan wasn't there to probably hear that name, so he's still calling you by your old name. Huh? Call me boo-boo, but I ain't a fool no more. See, listen, Satan is asking for the man of the flesh, but God is still speaking to the man of the spirit. See, God understands there's two sides of you, and he's not mad at that, because God said, I know all of you, and I still called you out of darkness. God said, I knew that you would fail me, but I still said, I redeemed you. God said, I knew that you would forsake me, but I still love you. There's nothing can separate you from the love of God. I want you to understand that. And when you understand that, you get right back up when you fall down. A righteous man falleth seven times, but he get back up again. I want you to understand that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. He said, there's nothing that a man can pluck out his hand, because you can't take nothing from my Savior. He said, I laid down my life. Ain't nobody take it. And when you understand my power, you will understand that those little hiccups, we're going to rise from that. That was part of the plan. I knew it when I called you to me. So stop getting tripped up on all the little things that you're thinking that you're falling short of the glory of God, because I saw it when I called you righteous. I saw it when I said that I would redeem you by my blood. I saw it when I told you that I never see the righteous forsaken, nor see the seed begging for bread. I saw it all. I know what I said when I called you. I'm not fickle like man. God is not like man. My God is a loving God, a forgiving God, a nourishing God, a cherishing God, a honoring God, a king. He is one that will call you out of your mess and won't even talk about it no more. He'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west. So when you know who you serve, you let go childish things. And you don't get tripped up when you fall short of the glory of God. You don't stay there. You tell the devil that I got to get back up again. Because the same thing that raised him up is the same thing that's going to get me up. It ain't me. It's not me. I can't pull myself up by my bootstraps. It is him that loves me. And he still calls me. And he knew the Peter in me, and he knew the Simon in me. And he knew the assignment in me. So I just got to learn it. And I'm not even earning it. Because it's his glory. When you understand, God ain't holding you to that no more. You don't let the enemy keep wearing you out all night. You don't let this devil keep telling you what you ain't. Let the redeemed say so. You tell God, I know that I'm yours. You can't have me. You can't have us. We've been bought with a cost. We've been bought with a price. I don't care what he whispers to you. You pull this word up and you tell the Satan that you know that's going to always accuse you. My God is sufficient. And what he did on Calvary is enough. And I believe it. And I received it. And I'm going to stand in his glory. I don't care where you at. I don't care where the devil finds you at. The prodigal son knew where home was. Long as you know where home is, you know how to get back home. Your daddy wants you to come back home. No matter what. You don't let the enemy tell you different. Because your God has paid a cost that's so great. That's what my tears are about, the greatness of his cost. It ain't nothing about me. I thank God for calling upon me, calling upon you. So we don't come just to get our salvation and remember that we are blessed and leave others in distress. That's not what God is doing this for. This is not why he shows us the grace that he shows us. The grace is to give it to others, to love them through where they're at, to let them know that I too am a sinner. I didn't say was. I too am a sinner. And when we can be transparent to a world that is dying, and we don't sit on our high horse as Christians, and that don't mean that we get to just bask in sin, but we get to tell them that our God is forever loving. He's forever forgiving. When we understand that, we're going to help do what he told Peter to do. He said, 32, but I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. I let you stay here a little longer, says the Lord, because there's somebody I need you to go strengthen. I know you, but I know you better. I know you think you know you, but I made you. And again, if I saw it deemable to call you, I saw it deemable because I'm going to keep you. Being kept by God. I'm so sorry. Being kept by God. When you know you wanted to leave him, when you've been mad at him, and he said, I'm going to still love you. When you have done everything to be out his will, and he still shows you grace and mercy and favor. You're not worthy of that. You're worthy of hell. But he's a mighty, 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 mighty good God. The song said he reaches to the lowest valleys. I think we've all but found ourselves back licking our vomits. And the Lord said, you're not a dog. Get up. Come on. Come on. But maybe we are dolls, because that's what the lady said at the table. Even the dogs eat from the food that falls from the table of the masters. If I'm just in the house, I'm happy. I know this meal won't fund me, but I'll take the crumbs. When you know a crumb from God is better than a feast from the table of the enemy. You praise them different. You praise them different. You tell them about the, oh my God, you're good. And I'm telling you that he cares about the loss. And he said, go back. Peter, I know you're going to deny me, boy. I'm not going to talk to you, even though Satan asked for Simon. But I'm talking to Peter, even when Peter's going to call me out my name. And I'm going to still tell you, I want you to build upon this church. I know that you fall short of the glory of God, but I still called you to this house. You don't let the devil tell you that you're not worthy to come in here and serve. You don't let the enemy tell you that you're not worthy to sing God's glory. It ain't yours. You sing about him. If he can stop you from getting to the podium, he's going to win. No, Peter, he said. And I love that he talked to what I called you out of. I'm calling you to rock. And when you look at God, you find out that's why you love him so much. Sometimes we got to get out of ourselves. We can't keep playing this old game, Simon says, or Jason says, or sisters and brothers such and such said. It ain't nothing you gonna say gonna be good enough to follow. But you gotta ask, what did he say? The crowd kept putting their hand up and putting it down, putting it up, putting it down. Sometimes you gotta realize, if the crowd ain't following Jesus, I don't wanna play the game. Because that's what it's called, a game. And the game is rigged to lose. That casino is going to make money because the odds of you losing is greater than the odds of you winning. The few times you win, he's going to bait you in. But that ain't who you are. That ain't what the glory is. But Peter is a good man. Peter was a cussing man. Peter was a gangster. Huh? I cut your ear off. Now the Lord, like, I got to go health insurance plans because I got to put people's ears back together. Because Peter put the sword up. Peter was squeezed first, asked question last. But then he learned, I got to represent Christ. And we got to stop telling God we know what's best. And then Peter ended up becoming sold out for Christ. And so when we look at this, we see that Jesus has a plan for his calling. And this is what I want to ask y'all to do. Everybody not called to a pulpit. But everybody is still called to witness. So the Bible says in Revelation 12:11, as I get ready to close, it says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And he said, and by the word of their testimony. And it says, and they loved not their lives unto death. There's three things. You got to do this with the blood of the Lamb. I didn't go into it as I wanted to earlier, but Luke 22, at the beginning of this, is talking about the Passover. And they were celebrating the Passover, and
When you start looking at the Passover is a little deeper than I really like to think some days. And they used the lamb to put the blood on the door to make sure the death angel didn't come and it passed over. That's the gist of it. But we skip past that they used the lamb. And now he's at the Passover feast, and now he's about to become the lamb to pass over all of us when death tries to come and it won't no longer have its power. And he says, I'm going to show the bloodstained banner every time that he tries to accuse you. See, this is how this works. God is sitting right here, and the Lord is sitting to the right of him, right? Then the enemy doesn't have a seat, but I believe he tries to come in and whispers on the left side. But the Lord is on the right side saying, I know what you're accusing them of, but they covered, Lord. Remember that. No, he can't do it because of this. And you know what got me in this text, y'all? When I looked at it, it says 32, but I have prayed for you. And I was like, why did Jesus have to pray? He's all knowing. That word pray is not really pray. It's really saying I interceded for you. When you know that God has already interceded for you, then you can stand different. That doesn't mean he's not going to accuse you. He's just like, I don't care. Because I've already put a covering over you. I heard him. But Lord, don't let him do it because he's ours. I know you're going to accuse me. And this is one time that the devil might be halfway right. But you're wrong because you don't know whose I am. So you're wasting your time. Now, I don't want to fall in the hands of a living God and just be able to think I can do what I want to do. But I can't keep letting what he tells me, I think I am, over what he has deemed me to be. We got to walk in the promises of God. We got to know who we are and whose we are. And we will stop letting the enemy trip us up so quickly. I didn't mean to cry, but when I start thinking about whose I am, and what he has done for me and all that he has embodied in all of my foolishness, I can't sit back and not praise him. When Jesus has already interceded for us, he said, pray then because he's in the flesh. But he says these three, let me give you these three. Romans 8:34 says, Jesus at the right hand, and he intercedes for us. John 1:21 reads that he's an advocate with the Father. So Hebrews 7:25, he says that always he lives to intercede for us. Not sometimes, but always. Huh? The devil sometimes comes and accuses, but he's always watching. He's always blocking. He's always protecting. He's always knowing. He's always covering. He's always picking you up out that dirt. He's always extending his hand of grace. He's always loving on you in spite of. He's always telling you, I will feed you. He's always saying, I will lead you. He's always saying, I will guide you. He's always saying, I will protect you. He's always saying that I will love you. I always will be here. So those moments where the enemy has tried to trick you, you tell him, sometimes is not greater than all time. Let me say it again for you. Sometimes it's not greater than all times. I got an all-time God and an on-time God. Because he's on time because he's always at time. And he's not in time because he's overtime. And that's where he got to work for me sometime is overtime. Because I can be a hot mess. But it ain't overtime for him. It's overtime for me because he's extended me in a way. Woo! You keep playing, newbie. I'm going to leave you with John 21. Peter again. Peter. Peter was something else. just like some of us. You tell the truth and shame the devil. But Peter was really God's dude. He was. How can you be God's good dude and I know you're a cussing dude? God know you now. Yeah. Now watch this exchange. This is when Jesus restores Peter. He says, verse 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord. This is after he denied him. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What did the Lord say? Feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, what did he say to him? Feed my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? I want you to see this exchange. He's talking to Simon, the man. He know you still gonna be in your flesh when he called you to do his work. But I still called you. But it says, but Peter said. The Lord says, Simon, son of Jonah. Listen, God said, I'm gonna talk to the flesh in you, but I want you to respond back to me in the man that I call to be in the spirit. It says, but Peter was grieved. Hold up, man, this sounds crazy. Simon, son of, do you love me? But Peter answers. Peter. There's a Peter in all of us. Because he built a rock in all of us. Listen to what he said the third time. He says, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Look at this. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. Sound like Peter done got the message now. If you hear God say something more than once, you should start looking in the mirror and asking questions. Peter got a little scared. Because in my heart, I know I love you. And this time, I'm not trying to prove that you don't, Peter. I just want you to remember when you have dark days. You got to tell yourself, you know you love God. And you know what you've been called to do. And if you know what you've been called to do, you let nothing hick you up from giving his people what they need, hope. Feed my people. You don't have to know all the scriptures. You just got to tell how he got you over. That's the witness. We are here to witness about not my journey, but how he's taking me on a journey, and he has to get the glory. Only thing you got to know is he forgave me of my sins and he turned me around and placed me on solid ground. That's all you need to know. And tell people, I too was crazy. I too was a sinner. I too still struggle. I too, but come on in. Because he wants two to come on in. You and that other one. I too to bring another. When people realize that you not so holy and you just like them, because we are. Because I'm still calling you Simon, but I got a Peter in you. Go feed my sheep. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you grilled yourself and walked where you wished. Can't do what you want to do. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will grid you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by his death. But he told him, he said to him, follow me. That's all we're here to do. Do not stop following. Don't listen to what Jason says, what Joan says, what Hebrew says, what Pat says, what Newbie says. I'm talking to yourself, not even to the crowd. What Nuke says. Don't listen to that person. That's the Simon in you. But you have an assignment because he called you Peter. And on that rock he built. And he's building in all of us right now for his glory. So we're going to put away childish things. And the old game, Simon says, no longer really rules over our life. Simon don't rule me. Jason don't rule me. I'm going to follow the king. And I'm going to feed his sheep. Let us pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father,